Guys, it's Eric. Today's episode of Yawkie Talkie, we have my good friend Grant Havenden on to talk about the Red Sox season and give a potential roster preview, as well as talk about our favorite moments, biggest surprises, who we think the best player is, does Chris Sale deserve Cy Young, and a hearth of other topics. So enjoy the interview. Without further ado, here's Grant.
Nervous. This is kind of like I think last year a little bit, and even like a little bit 2016, they captured the division a couple weeks before the playoffs start. Now they're letting off the gas. I get it. We're resting people, we're resting guys, getting ready for a postseason run and all that stuff. But at the same time, you know, we're kind of backing into the playoffs again. You don't want that. You want to have confidence, I think, going into the playoffs. So we'll see. I mean, obviously it's a new manager, and we'll see how he handles the playoffs. But, you know, I'm kind of feeling the same way we've had the past 2 weeks or 2 years. So I don't know what are your thoughts.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm very nervous, especially if they play the Yankees, who are seemingly getting pretty hot right now. Gary's even starting to hit a little bit. Giancarlo's been hitting really well, so
they're getting hot at the right time for sure.
Which is not what you want.
Not what we want in a potential ALDS matchup.
Nope. So let's just talk about some of the bigger storylines. The Red Sox head into the playoffs. My first one, and I think this isn't the biggest one for me, but I think it's a good one to start with. Will Mookie, JD, and Sal show up? You know, Mookie Betts has had zero playoff RBIs now. He's played in two straight ALDSs and hasn't done anything. So, yeah, I don't know if he's ready to show up now, if he's feeling a little better through the season. I mean, he's, I think, by far the MVP this year. He's got a 10.8 WAR, hitting .346, 32 homers. So I think he's pretty clearly the MVP, but is he going to show up? Same with Chris Sale, who has had a postseason ERA of over 8 last year. You know, JD, very limited experience in the playoffs. He's been okay. He's hit about .270. But I don't know. So what do you think, Grant?
You know, I think heading into the season, I think that's a completely fair point that you made for all three of those guys. I mean, Mookie Betts has been by far our best player last season, this season, 2 years ago, but really hasn't shown up in the playoffs. And I don't know. I mean, is it different this year because of how well he's been hitting all season? Is it different this year with a different manager? I think that'll be a really huge determinant of how he plays. I mean, you mentioned it with Chris Sale. I think the problem with Sale last year was he kind of got overworked and was getting thrown into situations where he had opportunities to give up runs, and unfortunately it worked out the way that it did, and his ERA just ballooned over that series against the Astros. And then, you know, JD's had, I think, what, two playoff or postseason years?
He played in the ALDS with Detroit in 2014, and then he played in the wild card in the NLDS last year with the
Right, that's right. So, you know, I mean, very limited experience, and I think it's a completely different animal playing in the postseason for the Red Sox and even with the Tigers and definitely with the Diamondbacks. I think there's just that added pressure where I think, especially this season, where you have a 100-plus win team, you have, and being that home run leader that he's been all year for the most part, I think the Boston media and the Boston fans will be expecting a lot from him. I expect a lot from him going into this postseason, no matter if they're playing the Yankees or A's to start off, and hopefully that carries over from what he's done. But, you know, if to answer your question, do I think they're going to show up? You know, it's tough to say. I want to say yes. I want to say that they're going to just continue what they've been doing. 100-plus win season, I think, speaks for itself. The most wins in franchise history. So, you know, it's really World Series or bust. And I think that starts with the game one on Monday, or on Friday, excuse me, and no matter who that is. So, we'll see. Like I said to start it, I'm nervous, so I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Crystal kind of got a little unfair shaking, especially in game four last year. Farrell, obviously, you know, just doesn't know when to pull a pitcher. So Crystal's exhausted, only on 3 days rest, going out there playing against the best lineup in baseball, a team that won the World Series. And you keep him out there going into the eighth inning, and then, I mean, he's exhausted. He was already exhausted going into that game. He's pitching his arm off, basically, and that's what happens, you know.
Right, yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah, and then my other, I think this is the biggest storyline for sure, is what the fuck is the bullpen going to do? Who are we going to have in middle relief?
You know, the bullpen is definitely one of, if not the most unreliable aspect of this Red Sox team. I think the way the people that you set up to get to Kimbrel, and even Kimbrel's been unreliable in a lot of situations recently. So that's just another thing that adds to my, you know, fear, my trepidation heading into the postseason, is who are going to be the guys or the guy to get us to Kimbrel, protect like a 1 or 2 run lead in the seventh inning when you really need it. Is that Joe Kelly? Is that going to be Heath Hembree? Who is that guy going to be? Because no one's really separated themselves in the past month or two here. If anything, they've just added more questions than answers, I think, heading into the postseason. So I totally agree. I think that's the biggest question mark heading into the postseason, is not if JD, Mookie, or Chris Sale is going to show up, but who's going to be that bullpen guy, that middle relief guy when we absolutely need it.
Yeah, if you look at some of the past World Series champions, and even teams that have made it to the World Series, like, for example, Andrew Miller in 2016 for the Indians, how big was he?
He
would come in fifth, sixth inning after the starter came out and just shut it down until the eighth or ninth.
Well, and Cody Allen comes out. Exactly. I think that's a big point you bring up. I mean,
even like Charlie Morton last year coming in relief in game seven, stuff absolutely. Like that. Who's going to be that guy for us?
Well, yeah, and especially when you get later on in October, where if you're able to get deep into the ALCS or even the World Series too, you can have these guys where the pitcher pitches for, you know, 4 innings, 5 innings, does what he needs to do, and you save his arm for a later game or like a game 6 or game 7 where you're just using any pitcher available to you. So it's definitely important, especially early on in the postseason where you're trying to pick up wins. And I mean, every postseason game is going to be close. These teams are all evenly matched that the Red Sox are going to be playing. So I think having as many pitchers and hands on deck as you can have really makes a huge difference. I mean, I'm not the first person to say that, nor will I be the last. So it's just a big question mark for a team that's, for the most part, top to bottom is pretty complete.
Yep, I agree. So that brings us into what we want to talk about next. I want to talk about who you think is going to be on the playoff roster. So obviously this changes between the Yankees and the A's, and I'll get into that. But so I have 16 guys that I think are pretty much safe bets to be on the postseason roster. I'd be really shocked to see any of these guys not on there. And then I have another 15 guys that are on the 40-man roster that are playing with the Red Sox right now that I think are on the bubble. So for my locks, going around the diamond, I got Moreland at first, Nunez at second, third, short, Holt, obviously utility infielder, Kinsler at second, Bogarts at short, Devers at third, JD, Bradley, Benny, Mookie in the outfield. And then pitching, Chris Sale, David Price, Rick Porcello, Nady Eovaldi, who Cora recently said is probably going to be the fourth starter, Erod, and then Kimbrel. So, and then on the bubble, I got the three catchers, Vasquez, Leon, Swihart, Sue Lin, Steve Pierce, and Brandon Phillips. And then pitching, I got Matt Barnes, Joe Kelly, Heath Hembree, Stephen Wright, Bobby Pointer, Ryan Brazier, Brandon Workman, Tyler Thornburg, and Hector Velasquez.
Yeah, and I mean, 25 people make the final or postseason roster, correct?
Yes.
It's 25. Yeah, I mean, those 16 that you listed off there are definitely locks for me, too. I think looking at the bubble, it'll be interesting to see how they... I think Leon definitely makes it because he's probably our best defensive catcher. Obviously, he's had his troubles at the plate this season. I think he leads the league in pitches swung at that are between someone's legs. And then it'll be interesting. I think Swihart is definitely the better bat between him and Vasquez. But again, if we're looking at defensive catchers, I think Vasquez beats out Swihart. I mean, Swihart's been in and out the whole season playing catcher. He's kind of played more towards the end of this year just because I think Cora's given Leon and Vasquez some rest, some time to get ready even for the postseason. And then just looking at the rest of that roster, I mean, we talked about the bullpen, and I don't want to, like, stick on the bullpen for too much longer, but there isn't one guy that I look here and I can confidently say that he absolutely makes the roster, because it's such a crapshoot with this bullpen after Craig Kimbrel, I mean, or before Craig Kimbrel, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to lay on it too much longer, hold on to it too much longer, but I think Pierce has had his ups and downs this season. He's definitely a bat in the middle of the roster. He's a good pinch hitter for sure to bring in power later on in games. Brandon Phillips, I think Brandon Phillips is just the odd man out there. He's come on so late. He definitely had that one, his shiny moment against the Braves to open up September, but I think he's not on there. Swihart, like I think I said, I think he loses out to Vasquez and Leon just because they're the better defensive catchers, and that's such an underrated thing. I mean, pass balls and being that good defensive catcher, just being able to call a game. I think Leon and Vasquez have that better than Swihart.
More experience.
They definitely have more experience. I mean, I think relying on Blake Swihart to be your either one or two catcher going to a really big postseason for the Red Sox just isn't ideal. And then, you know, looking at Su-Wei Lin, he's actually been a pretty good utility infielder coming up from Pawtucket when he has been throughout the season. I just don't see him making the roster either, but it'll be interesting. I think out of the looks like four or five middle relievers, I think they keep three of those guys. I just can't give you a good idea of who I think it's going to be because it literally could be anyone. I don't know. It'll be interesting to what Cora decides on that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with a lot of that. So I actually decided to just take the time. I figured, you know, I'm not going to be able to pick out of that list. So I just made a lineup card for if we play the Yankees or the A's. So I think if we play the Yankees, my game one lineup would be Mookie leading off, playing right, Benny in left, hitting second, Steve Pierce at first, Martinez DHing, Devers at third, Bogarts at short, Kinsler at second, Leon behind the plate, and Bradley in center with Chris Sale pitching. And then off the bench, I would have Vasquez, Holt, Swihart, Moreland, Lynn for the rest of the series. I think for the same reasons Grant listed, I think Vasquez and Leon are the two catchers. But I also think that they hold on to Blake Swihart a little longer because I think that he can play right field. He can play first. They've even played him at third a little bit. So I think he has the utility aspect if you are, and he can also hit. I think he's a good right-handed pitcher. He's a switch hitter, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I'm not saying that I think Swihart isn't.
Yeah, Swihart. I think Swihart being a switch hitter off the bench would be huge.
That would be huge. That's why I think just having three catchers coming in, I think, is, or coming on the playoff roster might be just a waste of a roster spot. But I mean, like I said, I think all these guys definitely have their case to make the roster. I just don't see them. I don't see Cora bringing on three catchers. I think that's just one too many.
Yeah, and then I think in the bullpen we're gonna have Joe Kelly. Unfortunately, Erod, I think he's a lock to make the postseason roster as a piggyback starter. If one of the starters struggles, he can come in.
Totally agree with
eat
that.
A couple
yeah,
innings.
Absolutely.
Ryan Brazier, Brandon Workman. If it's the Yankees, Brian Johnson, and then Stephen Wright and Kimbrel. And then if it's the A's, I would have, in my bullpen, I would have Matt Barnes instead of Brian Johnson.
Yeah, definitely have that right-handed.
The A's are very right-handed heavy.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I also think Bobby Pointer.
I think Pointer hasn't gotten his fair share this season. I think he should have been in a lot more.
He's been pitching well.
He's been pitching very well, and it's a shame that he hasn't gotten as many opportunities I think he deserves this season. But who knows? It'll be interesting to see what happens when they cut down the roster to 25.
Yeah, and I also think Steve Pierce probably doesn't make it if they play Oakland. I think he makes it if they play the Yankees, but I don't think he makes it if they play Oakland.
Totally agree.
All right, so that's playoff roster predictions. So next up, we're going to talk just a couple storylines from the season. What was your favorite moment this year?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of good moments when you win 107, 108 plus games here. And there's a lot of moments you could point to that you could be like, oh, wow, what a great moment. But I think I think this one was pretty easy for me when I really sat down and thought about it. It had to have been Mookie Betts' Grand Slam against J.A. Happ when he was still with the Blue Jays. I think just how important that home run was. And I mean, if there is such a thing as a turning point in a 100-win season, I think that was it. I think that was the moment where you could sit there and look back and look at this Red Sox team and be like, you know, I think this team is special. I think this team is going to do something that not many can do. Winning 100 games in a league like the MLB is really hard. And the Red Sox, after that, made it look easy, to say the least. And I think just the amount of emotion that poured into Fenway Park during that moment, after that moment, was something that the Red Sox really just rode all the way for the rest of the season. And here they are, 100-win team, the best team in baseball, and going in the postseason with, I wouldn't say momentum, but I think better than they have in the past 2 years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I definitely think that was a big moment. Mine, I'm going to disagree, however. I think I have two moments. If we're talking about just one moment in a game, I think it's, for me, the Brandon Phillips home run against the Braves. You know, it's a team, you're on the road, you're playing an interleague play, you got pitchers hitting, obviously. It's very different. And then for Alex Cora to be able to push the right button and be able to say, all right, Brandon, you're up. And then Brandon Phillips, after that comeback in the eighth inning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're down 7-1, and they come back and tie it. And then Freddie Freeman crushes a home run, and you're like, oh, fuck. Well, at least they came back and made it a game. Then Brandon Phillips comes out with two outs in the ninth inning and
golfs one.
An absolute moonshot. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a moment where I was like, all right, well, yeah, this team is special. And then I think if I'm talking about just a moment during the season, I think it's got to be that four-game sweep at Fenway over the Yankees. That put the division away. I mean, after that, the Red Sox have just kind of been coasting
to
the division title.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, like, after that, it was like, all right, well, the Yankees are focusing on the wild card game. We're just, like, sitting here until October.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the last game of that series especially, too, where even though the Red Sox had dominated the first three, to come back in the ninth inning the way they did, tie it, send it to extras, and then eventually win that, was just, I think, a testament to how well managed this team is. How, like, I feel like in any game, I mean, you mentioned the Braves comeback. There's never been a game where I felt like the Red Sox were actually out of at any point during. I always had in the back of my mind that somehow, some way, they could possibly come back and yep. send it to extras or even win it. So I totally agree. Like I said, I mean, there's so many moments that you can look back on this season and be like, wow, that's a really good one, or wow, I can't believe this happened. So
Rick Porcello throwing a one-hitter against the Yankees.
Yeah, so just like crazy.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I mean, Brian Johnson coming out of nowhere to be a pretty decent spot starter for us, too.
Just out, yeah, literally out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, just kind of stepping in for Drew Pomeranz, who just
definitely blows. Who's had a down year, to say the least, this year.
Sucks. Same with Robbie Scott. Holy fuck.
Yeah, dude, Robbie Scott's sucks. Not doing too hot either.
Yeah, so what's your biggest surprise this season?
You know, I think looking at this team and where it was last year, at the end of last year, not really a big power team or really able to drive in runs, just how in one season Alex Cora has stepped in and really kind of flipped the script on that from the past 2 years with John Farrell. I think you look at this team, and obviously bringing in JD Martinez helps, but I mean, you look at Mookie Betts, who's become more of a power hitter out of that leadoff spot, and all the way up and down the roster. I think they've been more aggressive at the plate, which is a good thing. They're not afraid to strike out. They're not afraid to make outs. They're putting the ball in play, and I think that's the most important thing in baseball. You know, make the fielders make plays instead of standing there and working the counts and being patient at the plate like I feel like they were under Farrell. So just swinging the bat has been just a nice surprise for them. It's really simple when you really think about it, that, you know, the best way to score is, you know, swing and put the ball in play. But the Red Sox kind of made that an art form the past 2 years, not being able to do that. And this year, really turning that around and putting the ball in play and just hitting as many home runs as they've had as compared to last year, the year before.
The grand slams.
The amount of grand slams they've hit is just unbelievable.
Ten grand slams and they had zero last year.
I just think that my biggest surprise, I guess, then is just the way that Alex Cora has changed their idea of what, or their mentality when heading to the plate for all the way up and down the roster.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I think my biggest surprise this year has been Brock Holt. His play has really turned around. Obviously, last year...
Your hero, Brock Holt.
I love Brock Holt. Yeah, I'm a Brock Holt guy for those of you keeping score at home. Brock Holt's probably my favorite Red Sox player right now. I just think he's just going from last year. You know, he had vertigo, obviously, but just the way he turned his hitting around, 274, coming off the bench, he's got, what, seven home runs now?
Seven, yeah.
45 RBIs, and a lot of those have been pinch hit ones. The three-run home run, pinch hit home run against... Mm-hmm. Who was that against?
Oh,
they all run together.
They all seem to blend together. But I know what I'm talking about.
Moreland was going to go out, and then they took Brock Holt and put him out there. Yeah.
Well, he's definitely just been that utility player that I think the Red Sox have lacked the past two seasons. A guy who can step into any sort of position on the field and step in at the plate and drive in or get on base and be a guy that can do that for them and be a really like a spark plug type player that can just be inserted at any moment, at any time during the game, whether he's starting the game or coming in the fifth or sixth inning to pinch hit for a guy who's been struggling, or they need something different going on. He's definitely been that guy for him.
I agree, and I think Brock also, this is probably his best season in my opinion, even better than the season when he was an all-star. This slashing 359, 407, 766, like, that's something you need off the bench, somebody that can come in and put some pop in the bat. And also just his attitude in the clubhouse, you know, the way he made JD feel welcome with the hugging, playing guitar during rain delays, bringing his kid around, stuff like that.
The other day at the Indians game where he's like pretending to bang the drum.
Yeah, exactly. He's a clubhouse guy, and I think he's really helped kind of give the team back that idiots feel that they used to have in 2004.
I totally feel that with him. Yeah,
I think Brock Holt has been my biggest surprise this year. I think without him, the Red Sox would be a completely different team, and I think he's just helping the Red Sox have a little bit more fun.
Yeah,
sure.
I totally get that. Totally agree.
So, does Chris Sale deserve the Cy Young? I would say probably not.
I say no, just because I think that the injury didn't help him, obviously, and then the way that Cora has gradually brought him back, he hasn't been as dominant as he was last year, 2 years ago, with them. So, you know, I guess last year was his first season with the Red Sox. But,
yeah.
You know, I think the injury definitely didn't help, and I think for the Cy Young, to be in a Cy Young award winner, you have to have that dominance, I think, throughout the whole year. And yes, I get that injuries have happened to past Cy Young winners, but I think I'm not disagreeing with what Cora's done with Sale, gradually bringing him back throughout the end of August and September. But I think when it comes right down to it, it shouldn't be him, just because of that injury and just
I think it's unfortunate because I really do wish Chris Sale would win the Cy Young, because I think he deserves a Cy Young, just even as a career achievement award at this point, kind of like when Kobe won MVP.
Yeah, definitely.
In the NBA, but I think you got to give it to Blake Snell, especially the last couple starts for Sale haven't really been him at his best. I mean, he's kind of throwing like almost a spring training start when he's out there.
Yeah, pretty.
And I mean, he's still
dominant. He literally
pitched
one inning the other day against Toronto. He threw 26 pitches and they got taken out. So you can't.
Yeah, and obviously the velocity hasn't been there. Yeah,
no,
I think he's just trying
to
ramp it up and kind of get his mechanics back to the way they were before.
Right,
it's time to start game one.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, Chris Sale has been ridiculous this year. He's finished four innings away from qualifying for a lot of these league leader positions. But I mean, he's got 237 strikeouts and only 158 innings, and that's a career high in strikeouts per nine for him.
Yeah.
He's second straight year where he's had almost seven strikeouts per walk, which is a ridiculous number. Hits per nine is the lowest that it's been since his rookie year when he was a reliever. His whip is .861.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Chris Sale has just been pretty good.
Obviously been pretty good.
That's an understatement.
It's just a shame that the injury happened when it did. But I don't think that takes away anything from him going into the postseason as if not one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the American League.
I think what Chris Sale wants more than anything is a ring right now.
I totally agree with that point.
Yeah, and I think it was Alex Cora that said Chris doesn't really care if he wins the Cy Young. That's why he's not mad about getting eased back in. He wants to win a ring.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He wants to win a ring with this team. What's your hottest take headed into the playoffs?
Hottest take. I think, I don't know if this is part of, qualifies as a hot take, but I think the Red Sox will make the World Series, and in the World Series, there'll be a pitcher that hits a home run for the Red Sox.
Any prediction on who that's going
to
be?
Well, maybe not one prediction, but I think people I want to see hit a home run, I'll narrow it down to three. I definitely want to see Brian Johnson hit a home run.
Jesus Christ. That'd be a tight BJ for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then Chris Sale going up there, all, you know, 100 and some odd pounds of him.
Could you imagine Chris Sale smacks one?
No, I couldn't. It would be too much for me. But I just want to see Brian Johnson hold the bat, or Chris Sale hold the bat, too. I think that would be a pretty funny image. And then the third... Third
I'm just trying to picture that in my head right now.
I want to see... I mean, he's already kind of shown it in the series against the Nationals a couple of weeks ago, or about a month or two ago. Rick Porcello. I mean, he raked that double off of his buddy Max Scherzer to clear the bases to get them in the lead in that first game against Washington about a month or two ago. He definitely... I mean, showing that power, I mean, who's to say he can't hit a home run?
I mean, yeah, Rick Porcello right now is... hitting .429 this season with an OPS of 1.143, three RBIs, three hits, two doubles. I mean,
not bad.
I'm not an analyst or anything, but that's pretty good. That's like Babe Ruth, like Ted Williams kind of.
Oh, numbers, isn't it? Pretty much. I mean, who is Shohei Ohtani? I think we got to be talking about Rick Porcello.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I'm glad we can come to the same conclusion.
What about you? Biggest surprise or biggest hot take? Hot take, yeah.
My hottest take?
Yes.
You know I'm a big Brock Holt guy, so I think Brock Holt's gonna hit a walk off home run in the World Series.
Wow.
Yeah, I think.
Any World prediction Series for a game? Game 7 walk off homer?
Game two.
Okay.
World Series game 2 walk off home run against the Dodgers. I think it's gonna be Red Sox Dodgers, and I think Brock Holt hits a walk off pinch hit home run in game 2.
Jeez. There you go.
Off Kenley Jansen, nonetheless.
Kenley Jansen.
Yep.
Calling the pitcher, calling the game, calling the guy. Unbelievable. Well, we'll be watching for that. I think this postseason.
Come back to this episode during Game 2 of the World Series. Yeah. When Kenley Jansen's out there closing
it out. When Kenley Jansen's there in Game 2, the Red Sox are down, you know, 5-4 or something.
And Brock Holt measles his way into the on deck
circle. Oh, yeah.
You know it's coming. Don't even lie.
Do you have anything else left to say to, I think, finish out the episode here?
I was going to ask you.
Wow. Well, you know, I
ball's in your court here. Wow. You're the guest. All right. Throw a counter question
right back to you. You know, I think baseball, the baseball postseason is one of, if not the best postseason. I think baseball gets a bad rap, obviously, because there's just so many games, and it's definitely a slower game as compared to, you know, basketball or football. But when it comes right down to it, there's nothing like October. October baseball is always edge on your seat action, you know. And the best thing about baseball is there's no time clock to it. There's no telling when the game will end. Any team is in it at any point. I think that's just what makes October special and baseball special compared to the other sports that we watch every day. And I think the season, I think the American League is by far better than the NL. I think whoever that is, whether that is the Red Sox, whether that's the Astros, Yankees, whoever, is definitely going to be the favorite against whoever they play in the National League, just because I think it's that much better between the two leagues.
Yeah, any predictions for, we're recording this at 3 o'clock on the last day of the season, any predictions on who's going to win the Central and the West?
I think in the end it'll be Chicago that wins the Central, just because I think they're the better managed team. And I think looking at the West, I think it'll be the Dodgers too. They'll come out of there. I think that'll be a really good NL wildcard matchup, Rockies and Brewers. I think the Brewers eventually will take that.
Be fun.
But who knows? I think
What do you think about the Dodgers scratching Walker Buehler so he can pitch if there's a wild card game? If they play in the wild card game or in a tiebreaker,
it's a bold but possibly smart move. I think it'll be interesting.
Duke it out with Rich Hill.
See how that plays out. Yeah, with Rich Hill there in that lineup too. So you know,
Jesus Christ, I'm just looking at the Dodgers pitchers that their hitting stats. Clayton Kershaw's hitting .240 this year.
Not bad.
In 57 plate appearances. 57
plate appearances. Yeah,
he's got 7 RBIs. I mean, like. I don't know. He could be a pinch hitter.
Could throw him if we in.
Play
there,
the Dodgers
yeah.
in the World Series. Sure. I would watch out. That pitcher home run could come true for the other team.
Could be.
All right. Yeah. And I just want to say before I leave that I hate the ALDS. I mean, I don't know what you think, but I think the 5-game format's just ass cheeks.
Why is that? Why do you think that?
Because like the Red Sox, this has happened to them 2 years in a row now, where they, you know, you go down 2-0, and you know, if you're in a 7-game series, it's like, all right, we're going home. We can flip it around. We win 2 out of 3 at home, and all of a sudden, hey, we're right back in it. Whereas in the ALDS, you're down 2-0. It's like, fuck, well, now we got to win 3
in a row. Now we got to win 3 in a row. Yeah, totally get that. I understand. But would you suggest having it go to a 7-game series?
Yes.
Or just really interesting?
I get why MLB doesn't do it, because they don't want to push the playoffs past October. But
yeah,
I think that there's other ways that you could shorten the season up. Even if you shorten the season up to 154 games again instead of 162, that I think it would just be better. And I think that, especially if you're not going to move the ALDS to 7-game series, please move the wild card to 3 games.
Yeah, definitely.
1 game is not enough. Especially the Yankees and the A's are the 3rd and 4th best team in all of baseball this year.
Right.
Like, them only getting 1 playoff game at the same time is ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's just about wraps it up. Thanks, Grant.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Mwah. So thank you to Grant for coming on and talking some Red Sox playoff preview with me. Big shout out to everyone who's listening and who's subscribed so far, and I hope to continue to entertain you guys talking about the Red Sox. Couple music things of note: Carter 5 came out this weekend. It's been waiting for 6 years, and it's been worth every second of it. Fantastic album. Young Sinatra 4 too. Haven't heard Logic rap like that in years. Really big fan of that track, especially the one with Wu-Tang on it. Oh my god. It's like my childhood coming back on me. But yeah, other than that, go plug the Carter 5. Make sure Lil Wayne gets a Grammy this year. And yeah, that'll about do it. See you guys for the next episode. Hopefully the Yankees win on Wednesday, so I can have Tim on. We can talk some Yankees Red Sox smack. See ya. Peace.
Yeah. These are my one St. Thomas flows. Me, my niggas, and some Madonna hoes. They look just like virgins, but trust they down to go. Yeah, discussing life and all our common goals. Smart kids that smoke weed on a roll. Look how the champagne diamonds glow. Fine dining, pour another glass when the wine is low. I'm in the crib stacking money from here to the ceiling. Whatever it is I got is clearly appealing. These other rappers getting that inferior feeling. I hope you feel it in your soul, spiritual healing. Take a look at yourself, the mirror's revealing. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it, the theory is brilliant. People ask how music is going, I heard it pays. I just came off making 2 million in 30 days. Damn, I guess it does what the message was. Sometimes I feel I be spending my money just because. But Weezy, I'm just out here repping us. Till I get to shake the hand of the man that's blessing us. Yeah, I know these niggas miss the mean lyrics. Kush got the room smelling like Team Spirit. I'd ask kindly if no one out here would bring the feet up. Until I lose, for now I'm the game's single leader. I fly private so no one tells me to bring my seat up. And book a suite with me and your favorite singer meet up. Who you like? Tell me who it is. I'ma make sure that woman is the next one on my list. I should call it a night, but fuck it, I can't resist. This one is for all the niggas from my city trying to diss. Without a response from me, you really fail to exist. And I love to see you fail. That feeling there's the shit, I swear. Pussy nigga, get your bread up. Enjoy the seat that the stewardess just forced your ass to let up. Why your scary ass looking down? Pick your head up. No one told you your disguise is the most ridiculous get up. When nose plugs in now, I can smell a setup. So you just wasting your time. You only making me better, yeah. I try to tell them, don't judge me because you heard stuff. Chasing cash, that's my brother from the surf club. Damn, that nigga always kept it so hood. Back when we would smoke good at the Oak Woods and have girls fall through like coins in the couch. Now we just fucking all the bitches they want us about. Scared for the first time, everything just clicked. What if I don't really do the numbers they predict? Considering the fact that I'm the one that they just picked to write a chapter in history, this shit has got me sick. But if I really do it, don't expect to get a split, cause this truly is some shit I don't expect for y'all to get. I'm nervous, but I'ma kill it, cause they bout to let the realest team in. Throwing up in the huddle, nigga Willie beaming, but still throwing touchdown passes and tortoise frame glasses, hoping that someone catch it. People say that old Drake, we started to miss it, but they need to be a little more specific. Man, is this what y'all want? In my best Chris Tucker impression, ducking your questions, fuck your suggestions. Money gets all of my love and affection. Cars all black like the cover of Essence. I'm allergic to coming in second, but I never sneeze. Y-M-O-E, nigga, yeah. Yeah. That's what y'all want? October's very own. Young Money. ATF. Thank me later in this bitch. What's up? Yeah. Free Weezy in this bitch. What's up? Yeah, June 15th in this bitch. What's up? Noel, that's it.